Open your Bible. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 through 35. Title is To Be Refined, To Be Purified, To Be Made White. Let's read. His armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish daily sacrifice. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. With flattery, he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword, or be burned, or captured, or plundered. When they fall, they will receive a little help, and many who are not sincere will join them. Some of the wise will stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end, for it will still come at appointed time. Faith in Christ comes with persecution. From persecution to the point of losing one's life, to persecution by the village, to persecution by the organization you belong to persecution by family and friends who don't understand you. The degree and appearance of persecution may vary, but persecution is always associated with faith in Christ. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus also said that if you believe in the true God, if you believe in Christ and try to live truly, there will always be persecution. However, in order to receive persecution, there is a condition. That is, you must try to live your life by reflecting the faith you have been given in the situation of your life. It is a prerequisite for receiving persecution that we do not say in public that we do not know about Jesus, but that we profess to know him. Let's see Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 40. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the member of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. The Lord says that to live while acknowledging the Lord Jesus in public is not just to make waves, but to bring a sword. He says that it is possible to give your life because of your faith. Why does this happen? It is because the world is motivated by its reluctance to acknowledge that existence of the one true God. More to the point, it is because people find it unacceptable, unreasonable, unintelligent, and unreasonable to kneel before God and admit that we humans are guilty of sins. In short, it's pride. It's the pride that we hold on to even though we have no power over our eternal destruction that makes those who want to live with true God as their first priority feel like it would be fine if it was God that I could use, but I don't want to be a God that I can fail. This is idolatry. Here's a question for you. Is God first? Man first? In other words, did God create man? Did man create the being of God? The Bible teaches that God came first, and that is truth and the reality. But the word says that man came first, and that God was created to fulfill man's desires. In other words, the gods that the world claims and desires are the desires of man, that man and the manifestations of man's greed. The gods were created to relieve people's greed. The Apostle Paul also says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, greed is the true nature of idolatry. We think that if we pray to satisfy our greed and use them to fulfill our desires, we will be able to live without diminishing our pride, without diminishing our authority, and without going against the flow of the world. In a world that is tainted with such thinking, believing in the one true God and living while believing in Jesus Christ, that's not necessarily led to so-called peace and tranquility that we think it does. Believing in the Lord Jesus is the ultimate peace and tranquility, but however, Jesus says that to stand for him in the world that does not seek peace and tranquility because of his desire to surrender humans' sovereignty and live according to God's will may bring persecution for the life of this body called sword. Not only in large organizations such as companies, schools, and nations, societies, but also in closest relationships such as parents, children, and siblings. That is, it is quite normal that usual for the world to come into conflict with believing and working with the God of the Bible. On the other hand, if we are accepted easily, it is a miracle, a special thing that cannot be described as God's protection, God's grace, and guidance. Or to put it a little more simply, you've given up on trying to live out on the faith you have been given and reflect it in your life. But it is not compulsory to live trying to reflect your faith in your life and to profess that you know Jesus. It's never knife to the throat. Say it or I will kill you. Even if we are told not to say it, it is rather unnatural not to say it. It is faith that compelled us to say it. It is also faith in Christ that makes us want to create a place where we can live while reflecting our faith. Ultimately, it is the Christian faith that makes it a joy to be persecuted because of Jesus. It may sound strange, but in fact, in the book of Acts in the New Testament, the apostles were told not to preach about Jesus, and even though they were whipped and persecuted, they were happy that they could finally be ones who were persecuted because of Jesus. Let's see Acts chapter 5, verse 40 through 42. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and bade them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Messiah. Ara, I said, the persecution comes with conditions, which is something we usually want to avoid if possible. But I said to be persecuted as if persecution is a good thing. And that is exactly what this verse is about. The reason is exactly what this verse says. It is great joy to be made worthy of being persecuted because of Jesus. When I think of these apostles, I am reminded of an athlete's body stripped of all unnecessary things. It is a spiritual state where everything unnecessary has been stripped away, and Jesus is everything. All they had to do in order to be persecuted was to be reflect the faith that was given to them in the situation of their lives and to acknowledge Jesus in public, to know Jesus in public. They did not focus on anything else. They just walked on. And like before, when they were afraid of being persecuted, unable to acknowledge Jesus in public, and scattered all over the place, persecution because of Jesus seemed like a medal. But this does not mean that they have lost their reason, intellect, or become zealot, who cannot maintain their composure. Rather, they are more at peace, more wise, and more firmly established in the faith that allows them to discern the cause of the world from spiritual perspective. So how can they be like this? Is it the result of their practice? Is it because of their efforts or training or their determinations? Of course, their religious determination was one of the major factors, but it was the Holy Spirit that led them to the religious determination. It was God, that Holy Spirit, who filled them, stripped away everything unnecessary, and led them to live only for what was important. It is precisely because of Jesus that they did not become worthy of being persecuted by their world. God, the Holy Spirit, changed them into Jesus is everything. So, is it fanatical to say Jesus is everything? No, it is not. If Jesus is my everything, then I will be rational and intelligent, wise, able to distinguish between real love and fake love. I will be led to live as one who desires to live not a life of risking my life for perishable things, but a life of risking my life for heavenly treasures that will never perish. This is the meaning of the word of Daniel chapter 11, verse 35, which is also the subject of today's sermon. Be refined, be purified, be made spotless. The persecution we receive because we have become all about Jesus will be used to refine, cleanse, and whiten us. As I mentioned last week, now in Daniel chapter 11, the angel Gabriel is telling Daniel about the great persecution that will happen to the nation of Israel in the future by a power man named Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes took over Jerusalem. The first thing he did was to defile the temple, spiritual pillar of the nation of Israel. Let's read Daniel chapter 11. His armed force will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish the daily sacrifice. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. With flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. Antiochus Epiphanes here and now, he says that the pain and and martyrdom of those who know their God or the wise among the people will not die in vain, but rather what they say and how they live will enlighten many. So what did they enlighten them about? He made them realize that true life is not the fear of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but in the fear of God, the creator of life, who can destroy both the soul and the body. He also made us realize that no matter what unjust accusations, persecution, danger, sword, tribulations, and deaths we may face, we are overwhelmingly victorious because of Christ Jesus, who loves us. It would not be an exaggeration to say that our daily life is, in a sense, a life of fear of the destruction of this body of earth. Not the fear of losing money, not the fear of getting sick, not the fear of things going wrong, but the fear of losing money, of getting sick, of things going wrong, of this body possibly being destroyed. The wise man among the people knew that it was far more frightening to deny the God who could transcend the fact that this body would perish and give us resurrection, restoration, eternal life, and indestructible body. I could actually believe it. They believe it. Believing is voluntary act, but at the same time, there is sovereignty of God at work that far surpasses and encompasses that voluntariness. In other words, we are given a personal encounter with God that enables us to believe. Believing in God and believing in Christ is not a gamble or gamble to believe in something that may or may not be true. When Pascal said, "I'm going to try to believe," he was not saying that he believed out of desperation because he didn't know what was going on anymore. But he believed because he saw a certain victory. In other words, he knew that is true. Here's the question. Do we act dishonestly as if we don't know God, even though we do? It is up to our free will to decide whether we will be sincere in expressing what we really know. Antiochus Epiphanes said, "If you continue to worship true God, I will kill you. But if you quit, I will let you live. But if you quit, I will let you live." God leaves it up to us to decide whether we will express by faith the realization and the fact that God is God, or whether we will think, "No, I'd rather be killed than live, even if I have to bend the fact and stifle that realization." This is because God and man have personal relationship, not an inorganic relationship. Jesus, as a parent, hopes Jesus hopes that a parent hopes that child will say with pride, "Yes, this is my father and mother," just as a husband would want his wife to say, "Yes, this is my precious, impeccable wife," or for a wife to say of her husband, "Yes, this is my precious, impeccable husband." God expects us to be like that. To God, we are not robots who can just push a button and say, "Yes, Master, I love you." Well, robots these days don't say such words there. But we have been given the grace to say what we love with the free will we have been given. Sometimes, for the sake of our beloved children, grandchildren, parents, husband, wives, friends, co-workers, seniors, and juniors, we may be questioned, misunderstood, and looked down upon by others. But because I love them, we love them, we are proud of them, even if they are suspicious, misunderstood, and looked down upon for the sake of their stupid children, grandchildren, parents, husband and wife, friends, colleagues, and senior and junior staff. It's because of love. Japan is a country that had freedom of religion in its constitution. So if you live a normal life, you probably won't be persecuted to the point of having your life threatened because you are Christian. However, it may be easy to fall into the temptation of living as a believer who is not particularly interested in reflecting our faith in the field of life while taking it easy and finding a way to get by without being suspected or making waves. And before you know it, you'll be living religious life that you call a life of faith with a goal of avoiding persecution. During the last war in the Pacific, the Japanese government believed that it was legal to police those who did not worship the emperor as God. And there were times when churches indulged in Sunday worship service that included the singing of national anthem in praise of emperor, bowing to the imperial palace, and the raising of the Japanese flag with cross. Furthermore, it is a historical fact that there were Japanese church leaders who took it for granted that more than 200 pastors and elders who refused to worship the emperor and visit shrines on the Korean peninsula would be killed as they were beholden to the Japanese government. On the other hand, there are the believers of the Mino Mission who refused to worship at the shrine. And were subjected to self-persecution, and the Japanese pastors of Holiness Church who were imprisoned and tortured to martyrdom for violating the security law for their faith that revealed the second coming of second coming of Christ without concealment. And Pastor Hirofumi Noji Nodera Hirofumi Nodera of Akabane Bible Church, a member of Alliance Church, to says this about the current Japanese church has experienced such things. Recently, I have been thinking about how much the Japanese church have overcome the curse of emperor system today. Is the authority of prophets really standing in the world? How many pastors today can clearly preach from the podium about the problems of the emperor system? How many pastors have told their congregation about the seriousness of the Hinomaru Kimigayo problem? Isn't it possible that he can't preach that truth for fear of opposition from the board members and the congregation? Isn't the pastor only able to preach and clearly? Having been defeated once during the war, the Japanese church has managed to survive miserably and narrowly to avoid friction with the world and persecution until today. If we don't fundamentally change this nature, there is no way the church will be able to show the world the glory of Christ even 100 years from now. Especially since the recent terrorist attacks, the world is rapidly turning to the right. If you speak the truth in such time, you will naturally face self-persecution. We must be prepared to be ostracized or even killed. However, if we compromise with the world, we will end up like the church during the war. If times are bad, the church should not be swayed by the common sense and reputation of the world, but judge things correctly from the Bible, the Word of God, and we must endure all hardship and faithfully speak the Word of God with a resolve to die. I have had enough of avoiding Lord's hardship and being cursed by God, following the spirit of the martyrs. We should be willing to endure the Lord's hardship of faithfully fulfill the Lord will be please him. And I sincerely pray that we will build the foundation of blessings that will last for thousands of generations to come. Someone once told me, when I see or hear something like this, it makes me feel uncomfortably. But I can't just look away and be hiding Christians while living in country where freedom of religion is guaranteed. Some people may think it's okay to be wrapped up in something wrong, but aren't Christians ones who have been given the long to encompass the world? As the pastor Himchan's message, I have no gold or silver, but I will give you what I have. Get up, walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what you have. Or do you live with well? Is it burden? No, it's okay. If we make statement that we are Christian and live on the basis, the Lord will knead us, cleanse us, whiten us, and transform us into people who will have greatest joy in being made worthy to be humiliated for the name of Christ. This is how I feel about the church as I pray. If it's necessary to suffer persecution in order to do what Jesus wants us to do, then we should be that rejoice in the fact Jesus had made us worthy of persecution and humiliation. We do not want to be a church that aims to be recognized by the world, but a church that shines the light of Christ that world has no choice but to recognize. Let us pray. When someone asks me, do you know God? How I can answer? Respect our will. Thank you. Please remind us your love and experience your love. Let us experience your love again. And we can confess our faith. And let us walk reflecting your words in our life. Let us walk with your blessings. Please, let's lead. Thank you, your word. Our Savior, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond. Singing hymn number 338.